Amen. Thank you, Rhonda and Gladys. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You should have received an outline in your bulletin this morning. If you did not, if you'll raise your hand, our ushers will get you one of those here momentarily. How many are tired of the snow? Okay, that's most of you. How many of you still liking it? Hey, there's a few. That's more than I expected, all right? Well, we've had so many snows here on Saturdays. Finally, God gave us just a little dusting yesterday just so we wouldn't forget what it looked like, you know, coming down and so forth. But I think maybe we're coming out of it. What do y'all think? Maybe, maybe not. Who knows, right? Not yet, not yet. All right. It is Indiana. We live in South Bend, which has nothing to do with the South, but we know we're going to get snow, right? And so we can count on that. So anyway, it is good to see you this morning. If you've missed us over the past few weeks because of the weather, we're glad to have you here and glad to have you back. We're continuing in our series on the book of Acts, and we're talking about the early church. What we see in the book of Acts is a history, really, of the early church and how the church went from a small group of believers to multiplying and spreading all over, really, the world. Amen? And so what we see here in Acts is how that happened. But when we talk about the church, let me ask you a question. How many of you, at some point in your life, have been disillusioned with the church? Maybe you were hurt or frustrated or turned off by the church. How many of you? Okay, listen, if we're all honest, we probably could all raise our hand at some point or another, right? That somebody or something about it, whatever, has just kind of frustrated us or hurt us, or we've been turned off by it. Well, D.L. Moody was visiting in the home of a man who had been disillusioned with the church. He was a prominent leader in the city of Chicago, and he was talking with him in his home when the subject of church membership and involvement came up. The man objected to the idea and commented. He said, "I can be just as good a Christian outside the church as in it." Well, D.L. Moody thought for a minute. He got up from his seat, walked over to the fireplace, sitting in there in the man's living room, grabbed a pair of tongs, grabbed one of the hot burning coals out of the fire, pulled it out, set it off by itself, put the tongs back, and went back and sat down. And without saying a word, he and that prominent businessman in Chicago sat there and watched that burning ember go from flaming hot to really warm, to warm, to cooler, all the way till it totally went out, while the fire still burned bright. Without saying a word, the man looked at Mr. Moody and said, "You know what? I get it. I understand." Friends, just like a single ember separated from the fire, we as Christians, if we become disconnected from the family of God, we will quickly lose our fire as well. Amen? We've got to stay connected to the family of God. You know, many people today have the idea, "I don't need church." They have the idea or think, "Well, the church is outdated. I can be a Christian on my own. The church is just full of hypocrites." That's right. That's what a lot of people, you may have said it yourself. Who needs them, right? Friends, I believe the reason many people don't want to be a part of the church is because they have the wrong idea of what a church is supposed to be. And they're just seeing what earthly churches are like and not maybe what God really wants. Friends, let me ask you this. When you think of the church, what do you think of? Do you think of a group of hypocrites? Do you think of stained glass buildings? Do you think of quiet, empty pews? Shh, shh, be quiet. How many of you grew up like that, right? Okay. Do you think of, okay, for you who grew up Baptist, all right, do you think of fussing and fighting over petty little things in a business meeting? Is that what you think of? Or do you think of the church as irrelevant and out of date? Well, friends, I don't believe any of those things are the church at all. At least not what God intended the church to be. Amen? Not the one God had in mind. Well, if that's the case, then we need to ask ourselves a question. What does the church God had in mind look like? What does a healthy church look like? Well, friends, that's why we're looking here in Acts. That's why we're looking in the book of Acts. And I believe here in Acts chapter 2, we get to witness that. I believe in our text this morning, we get to see what a healthy church looks like. So turn, look at your outline. Yes, we have 6 points this morning. My wife saw that and she said, "You better hurry." I said, "Don't worry." I said, "We got all the time in the world, right?" So, you know, can we call in pizza and just bring in dinner and just, you know, there we go. All right. So actually, I told first service, I said, "Listen," I said, "you're here early, so I'll finish up point six by about the time second service is over." And they didn't quite go for that. So anyway, number one on your eye, what does a healthy church look like? In case I got some of you worried, you know, just chill out. We'll be done in time. All right. We'll be done in time for you to beat the Methodist to the local restaurant or whatever. So we're good. All right. Number one, a healthy church is a devoted church. A healthy church is a devoted church. Do you remember our background from last week? Do you remember the context of what we're talking about here? If you remember, here we were at Pentecost, the beginning of chapter 2, and there were many people, Jews, had come from all over to celebrate the feast of Pentecost. And while at Pentecost, the believers were sitting up in the upper room. They were waiting because Christ had told them to wait until he sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, upon them. And the Holy Spirit came and indwelt and filled those believers in that upper room. And friends, he didn't come quietly. Amen? The scripture says he came with a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It's louder than that, right? I don't know. I can't even make it, you know, but he came with a loud sound. And why was that? I believe it was to create some attention, to attract attention. Because what happened is, after those believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to really share the gospel and speak in other tongues, telling others about Jesus in their native language, all the Jews and people had come out to see what was going on. And so all of a sudden what you have is a huge crowd out coming to see what in the world was going on, what that noise was. The apostles were there, Peter's there, and listen, as any good preacher would do, when you have a crowd, you've got to do what? Preach. That's right. Somebody this morning said take up an offering, but you know, that comes second, okay? That comes after the preaching, okay? But Peter did what he was supposed to do, because we looked last week, and Peter saw all these people, and he saw their need for Christ. But before we can come to Christ, we first have to hear the gospel, right? We first have to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins and rise from the grave to give us new life. That if we turn from our sin and put our faith and trust in him, our name can be written in heaven. That's good, amen? Peter preached that, and upon him preaching that, the Holy Spirit worked, convicted them, and many of them, the Bible says, were saved. How many? You remember that? How many were saved? 3,000. Look at verse 41. Verse 41 tells us, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." So they went from about 120 people, right? And 120 people, it says back there in chapter 1, to 3,000 people being saved in one day. Listen, they went from a small church to a mega church like that. Now listen, that's instant church growth. But here's the problem. What do you do? All of a sudden, you've got 3,000 brand new believers who have just heard about Christ, who have just heard that he's the Messiah and accepted him as their Lord and their Savior, but they don't know what they don't know, right? So what happened? Look at verse 42. Verse 42 tells us, says, "And they went to church once a week, every week." Is that what it says? It's not what it says at all. I want you to catch this. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." Friends, they continued steadfastly. We'll come back to that here in a moment. But in the apostles' teaching, they needed to know what they didn't know. Amen? They needed to begin to learn about what it meant to walk in Christ, about what Christ had done for them, about how what the Holy Spirit was going to do in them and through them. And so they began to sit at the feet of the apostles. They began to continue steadfastly in fellowship. In other words, fellowshipping with other believers. Friends, listen, we cannot be who God wants us to be outside of a group of other believers. Did you know that? Many people think they can be lone Christians, but you can't be who God really wants you to be, and you can't be growing in your faith like you need to be outside of the fellowship of a group of believers. It says they continued in the breaking of bread. Now listen, we as Baptists love to eat, amen? Right, Kathy? We love to eat, and we'll fix a meal on the spot, okay? But that's not what it's talking about here, is it? The breaking of bread here, what they're referring to is a communion, the Lord's Supper, observing the Lord's Supper. And why were they to observe the Lord's Supper? Jesus said to do this in remembrance of me. And as you do it, every time you do it, you what? You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So here they were breaking bread, sharing in the Lord's Supper. And really what that means is they were focusing. They never forgot why and what Christ had done for them. Amen? Listen, that's what the Lord's Supper is all about, him shedding his body and blood on the cross for us. Amen? And they continued in that. Friends, that has to be central in what we do as a church and as believers. And it says they also continued in prayers. Individually, corporately, they communed with God. They were in fellowship, constant fellowship with God. But friends, notice that it doesn't say they came to church every week, that they just came whenever they felt like it or once a month or so forth. They continued steadfastly. Some of your translations say, New American Standard translates it this way. It says they were continually devoting themselves to these things and to the life of the church, learning, fellowship, proclaiming Jesus, and praying to the Lord. Friends, the Greek word here means to be solely focused, to give all of your attention to something. You know, how many of you have been watching the Winter Olympics? Anybody watching the Olympics a little bit? All right. I like to watch it. I haven't watched any of it yet this year. Well, just a little bit. I caught a couple of little things last night. But, you know, when someone trains for the Olympics, you don't just get up one day and say, you know what? I think I'm going to enter in the luge competition, right? You don't get up and say, you know what, I like to snow ski. I'm going to get up and, you know what, I'm going to go enter myself in the Olympics snow skiing, right? It's not the way it happens, is it? Those athletes train for that. They train years for that. They train their body, and they are working out so that their body will be prepared on how to handle that specific event, right? They train on their sport for years. In fact, many of them started doing what they're doing since they were real little kids. And they train and they focus and they devote themselves to that event and perfecting their craft and being all they can be. Amen? Well, friends, in a similar type way, listen, if we want our life to be all that God promises it to be, then we must fully devote ourselves to two things. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We must be fully devoted to him. Listen, friends, he gave his all for us. Amen? Listen, Christ didn't die so that you could be a ho-hum Christian. Christ didn't die so you could be a C and E Christian only, you know? A Christmas and Easter Christian only, okay? Christ died so that you could be redeemed from your sins and so you could live for him and so that he can live through you. Friends, we must be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and friends, we must be devoted to the life of the church. You see, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Friends, Jesus established the church. Who is the church? The church is us. Amen? The church is the group of believers. He established the church to help us to learn, to grow, to fellowship, to be able to come around the Lord's table together and to stay connected with the Lord. Friends, what are you devoted to? What are you devoted to? You know, if we be honest with ourselves, most Americans would say they are devoted to themselves, right? Devoted to what we want to do. Many would say they are devoted to their television. Favorite TV shows on, you're right there every week. Or maybe you're devoted to your iPad. or to Facebook. Ouch. Listen, what's important to you? What do you spend time with? What are you focused on? Friends, healthy and devoted Christians are devoted to a local church. I do not believe you can be a healthy Christian without being integrally involved in the life of a local church. Now, I didn't say I don't believe you can be saved without... Listen, you can be saved and not be in a local church. You can be saved and be out of in disobedience to God. But I don't believe you can be saved and healthy and growing like you ought and be disconnected from a local church. So friends, listen, a couple of applications to that this morning. Number one, if you're here and you're looking for a body of believers to be a part of, boom, you got it. All right, we want you to be a part of what God's doing here at Southside. But here's the deal. I would like to think that all of you are going to be here until you die or I die or Jesus comes home. But the reality is we're probably not, okay? Some of you are going to move away, you're going to get a different job, or Aunt Susie's going to need you, and you're going to have to go take care of her somewhere and whatever, and you're going to have to move. But here's the deal. When you are looking, or you move somewhere else, listen, don't go move somewhere else and say, you know, I just don't have time to look for church. You know what that shows me? It shows me that you're not serious about your relationship with the Lord. Because, listen, the church is the organism through which Jesus Christ left here on earth to accomplish his work. And he has commanded us to not forsake the assembling together of ourselves. So friends, as believers, we need to be involved in a local church. Amen? We need to be devoted to the life of the church. Friends, it is through the church that Jesus' plan to reach the world. Friends, and so we need to be devoted to the church. A healthy church is a devoted church. Amen? But not only that. Second, a healthy church is also a God-fearing church. A healthy church is a God-fearing church. I want you to look at verse 43. Verse 43 is a little bit of a head-scratcher when you first read it. It says, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." Now, why in the world? What's it talking about here? Why would it say then fear came upon every soul? Is it talking about that they were afraid of others? I don't believe so. Is it talking about they were afraid, they were fearful of something bad happening? I don't believe that either. Friends, what I believe it's talking about here is it was a reverential fear, a reverential awe, if you would. Listen, what had just happened? Peter had preached in the midst of this. They'd seen all the signs and wonders that the Holy Spirit had done through them. And 3,000 people got saved in one day. They were in awe. Amen? They were in awe because they knew that God was among them. They knew that God was working in them and through them. And friends, they were excited about what God was doing. As the apostles, it says, were doing wonders and signs, and many things were being done to authenticate the message, friends, it was obvious that God was moving. Amen? Friends, if we're going to be the church that God has called us to be, if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, then we need to be sensitive to His Holy Spirit. Amen? We need to be willing and sensitive to do whatever He calls us to do, even if that means getting outside of our comfort zone. Now, let me ask you a question. Honest time here, okay? Honesty, all right? Raise your hand and say, "Pastor, I will be honest." Okay? How many of you are scared to get outside your comfort zone? Okay? I'm scared to get outside my comfort zone, okay? If you think about it, you ought to raise your hand just by definition, amen? You know, because if it's in our comfort zone, we're comfortable. If it's, that's what we're not comfortable with, okay? Just by very definition. Let me give you a secret, though. Outside of your comfort zone is where the good life is. Outside of your comfort zone is where obedience to God lies. Here's the kicker. Friends, if you've never stepped outside of your comfort zone, I question whether you've really, really ever said yes to God and His call at all. If you've never stepped outside your comfort zone. Because isn't that where faith is? Listen, if it's in our comfort zone, it doesn't require faith, right? If it's in our comfort zone, then we can do it. I got this, right? But when God calls us to do something, friends, by very definition, it's outside of our comfort zone. So when you say, well, you know what, Pastor, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I don't know if I can do that. Whatever. Well, good. I'm glad you feel that way. Listen, I feel inadequate and uncomfortable and fearful about what God calls me to do all the time. But the key is, am I going to obey or am I going to disobey? Amen? And friends, if we really want to feel God's blessing, listen, I think if I ask this question, how many of you really want to feel God's blessing? How many of you really want to be where God wants you to be? How many of you really want to be and you feel and you know that, man, you know what? I am doing and living the way God wants me to be and live. Isn't that where you want to be? Well, friends, that doesn't happen until you get outside your comfort zone. It doesn't happen until you get outside your comfort zone. And so we've got to be willing that when we reach that and God, when God lays his hand on us or we hear him speaking and say, you know what, I want you to do this. God, I don't know if I can do that. Guess what? If that's the conversation you're having with God, guess what? It is him. It is him. That's him speaking to you. So I don't know if it's God speaking to me or if God's telling you, if you feel like, you know what, you need to go and you need to reach out to this person. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I can do that and stuff. And you know what? I just leave that to somebody else and stuff. Listen, friends, that's God. That is God. And are you going to listen to him and obey him and do what he's calling you to do? Friends, if so, that means getting outside of your comfort zone. Amen? Friends, the call of God always involves fear on our part. Did you hear me? The call of God always involves fear on our part. There is always trepidation. There is always hesitation, friends. Are we going to obey or not? Friends, I believe fearing God means caring enough about what he has to say that when he says it, we're going to do it. Amen? That's what it means to be in awe of God. What does it mean to fear God? You know, we can almost define it by defining better what it means not to fear God. When we don't fear God, we don't do what God says. Right? Because we're not afraid of anything. We say, but we're not supposed to be afraid of God. Well, listen, friends, God will discipline his children. Do you know that? God will discipline us. And even if we are so far out of line in disobedience with God, the Bible even records several things where God takes his children on to home if they're being disobedient to him and refusing to listen to him, refusing to walk with him. You say, well, Pastor, are you trying to scare us? Yeah, maybe, I don't know. No, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to get you to be obedient to God. I'm trying to get you to see a glimpse of the fact that staying in your comfort zone is not where God wants you to be. It's not your best life now. That is stepping outside of your comfort zone. That is obeying God even when you feel like you can't do it. Even when you feel inadequate, even when you say, you know what, let somebody else do that. No, God wants you to do that. Amen? God wants you to do that. Friends, will you determine today, I will not let my comfort zone keep me from obeying God? That's what I want for you today. Amen? A healthy church is a devoted church. A healthy church is a God-fearing church. And number three, friends, a healthy church is a loving, actually I slipped two in here, okay? Healthy church is a loving and generous church. A healthy church is a loving and generous church. Look at verse 44. I believe there's two things going on here. Verse 44 says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now, how many believers were there? 3,120 or so, okay? Now, it says here they were all together. Were they all in the same place? Boy, that would have been a big place, all right? They didn't have any time to build that great sanctuary yet, right? So forth. So, I was really talking about here their unity. They were one in mind, one in spirit. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in a few minutes. It says, and they had all things in common. Some people want to use this verse, and many throughout history have used this verse to promote communism, to promote some kind of communal living. But the reality is, if we think that way, we need to understand that we really don't understand what's going on here in the early church. Remember what happened. Why were so many people in Jerusalem? They were there to celebrate celebrate Pentecost, right? They were there to celebrate the feast, and they had come from all over. So even before the Holy Spirit came and the miracles that happened with that, listen, I doubt there were enough Holiday Inns to accommodate all the Jews that had come, right? You know, there weren't enough Springwood Suites around, okay? They hadn't popped up yet. So what happened was many of them had to stay with relatives and friends and that kind of stuff. Well, something else has happened now. Now, many of those who had come from afar off, some from there locally and stuff, had now put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the one whom the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jews had killed. You think they were looked upon very favorably? No, they were not. So all of a sudden, what you have here are many here in Jerusalem, some who had come from far off, and now their family has disowned them. Many of them probably don't even have a place to stay now. So what does it say the Christians did? They allowed them to come in. They had all things in common. It says here, they sold their possessions and goods and divided among them all as anyone had need. On top of that, what happened is many of them, because they came to Christ, they lost their job. They weren't able to make money. They weren't able to do business because they were persecuted for their faith. And so what we have here in the early church is we see that believers are loving and caring enough about each other that they didn't want to see each other in need. And they were so overcome with gratitude because of what Christ had done for them that they were willing to be generous with others. Amen? I would say that ought to characterize us as well. Amen? One of the key ingredients of a healthy church is love and concern for one another. Lee Iacocca, in a book he wrote several years ago, asked legendary football coach Vince Lombardi of the Green Bay Packers. Anybody, any Packers fans here? All right. Good. I'm glad you say that, Dwight. Lee Iacocca asked football coach Vince Lombardi what it took to make a winning team. Now, what would you expect him to say? Maybe something like, you know what, you got to focus on the fundamentals. You got to really know how to block and tackle and those kind of things. Or maybe you would expect him to say, you got to have plenty of discipline. You got to be disciplined and you got to be detailed. Friends, that's not what he said at all. I want you to listen to what he says. Lombardi says, there are a lot of coaches with good ball clubs who know the fundamentals. Okay? There are a lot of coaches with good ball clubs who know the fundamentals and have plenty of discipline, but still don't win the game. It says, then you come to the third ingredient. If you're going to play together as a team, you've got to care for one another. That's right. Vince Lombardi said, you've got to love each other. Isn't that great to know, Packers fans, right? Packers are all about love, right? That's what he said. He said, each player has to be thinking about the next guy and saying to himself, if I don't block that man across from me, Paul is going to get his legs broken. I have to do my job well in order that he can do his. He says, the difference between mediocrity and greatness is the feeling these guys have for each other. Friends, who knew that the great, mighty, and Green Bay Packers were built on love? Does that make you feel good about them, Dwight? It makes you feel great. Warm and fuzzy inside, right? I got you. And cheese. There you go. Friends, here's the deal. If that's true in football, listen, we hear it said today, don't we? You know, we don't hear it talked about in those terms. But they talk about, you know what, we have good camaraderie in our locker room. You know, we've got each other's back. You know, we really gelled as a team. What are they talking about? They love each other. Okay? They love each other. Okay? If they don't love each other, they can't be a good team. They're not going to be a good team. They're not going to come together. Friends, if that's true in football, I believe it's even more true in the church. Friends, if we need to show genuine care and concern and love for one another. Whether you're new here at Southside Baptist Church or whether you've been here for a long time, listen, I want to encourage you, friends, love one another. Amen? Listen, practically speaking, how do we do that? Friends, seek to get to know each other, okay? I want to encourage you to seek to get to know each other. Some of you say, well, Pastor, I'm new here at Southside. Well, here's the deal. I'm going to tend to guess that probably somebody else right around you is new too. So for you to wait and expect them to say something to you or to reach out to you, listen, they may be waiting for you to do the same thing. Why not you beat them to the punch, okay? You know, let's reach out to each other. Show concern for one another. It's one of the reasons we do the church directory. And when you become a member, you get church directory, you know, so you can call and check up on people. You know what? I've noticed you haven't been here in 3 weeks, you know. Oh, we've been sick and whatever. You know, it's good to call and check up on people and get to know each other so that we can do what God's called us to do together. Amen? We've got to love one another. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Friends, a healthy church is a loving church and a generous church. Number four flows right out of that one, and that is this: a healthy church is a unified church. Friends, the church that loves each other will be one in unity. Amen? Look at verse 44 again. Verse 44 says, "Now all who believed were together." We talked about that. There was a oneness about them. They were one in mind. It talks about that again. Down in verse 46, it says, "So continuing daily with one accord." Now, that wasn't the kind of car they were driving, right? No, it means they were of one mind. The Greek word here is the word homothumadon. Can you say that with me? Yeah, there you go. That's a good. Yeah. Homothumadon. Say it. Homothumadon. And here it's made up of two Greek words, one word meaning to rush along and another one meaning in unison. And linguists, looking at this word, say that the word is almost, the image is almost musical. So when you talk about rushing along in unison with the image being almost musical, what do you think of? Harmony, right? It's all in harmony together. So we as believers are to live in harmony together. Believers in the church should always seek to live in unity and harmony with one another. Here's the problem. Where two or more are gathered together, that's right, you're going to disagree because there's two or more opinions, amen? Why does Jesus have to be among them? Because they're going to disagree about something, right? Listen, you do it in your marriage. Why do you get surprised when it happens in the church? Amen? So listen, here's the deal. How do we overcome that? We overcome that by loving each other. Friends, love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? And let me just tell you something. If you run and leave and do the flight thing every time you get offended about some little bitty thing, listen, you'll never stay in a church or in a relationship very long at all. You got to learn to forgive people. And you got to learn you've hurt God a lot more than they've hurt you. Amen? Stop being so sensitive, okay? Listen, we want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be so sensitive to all those other things and what have you. Most of the time when we think people have hurt us intentionally, they have not. It's been an unintentional offense that we've had because of our own hang-ups, okay? So here's the deal. Friends, the devil is going to do all he can to create problems in the church. How many of you been in a church where the devil's gotten in and created problems? Been in that before? Okay. Here's the deal, and let's just make it simple. I want to encourage you, don't let the devil use you to create dissension in the church. Now, you can't control anybody else. What you can do is, and one of the problems that happens in a lot of churches is, somebody says, "Well, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about that? I don't like this about the pastor." What do we call that? Gossip. And what are we supposed to do when we hear it? We're supposed to stop it. Okay, now I know that's hard. Most of the time that stuff's blindsided you, and by the time you finish with that conversation, you're like, "What truck just hit me?" Right? Well, you come back to that person, you say, "You know what? Well, we need to have a conversation about that conversation. Listen, I just want to say, listen, we need to love those people, and we need to let love cover the multitude of sins, whether that offense was real or not, and we need to love and not be gossiping about them." Listen, there's only one kind of gossip we need to be a part of. I love it because our state executive director says we need to be gossiping Jesus all over town. Amen? Listen, that's the kind of gossip, that's the only kind of gossip we need to be involved in. We don't need to be involved in gossip. So friends, don't let the devil use you to create dissension in the church. And listen, here's the deal. We need to be teachable. Amen? And we need to be correctable. And what that may mean is that sometime, at some point or another, when we say something to somebody, a friend or brother or sister in the church, maybe they have to say back to us, you know what? Is that really the godliest thing you could say? Is that something that's helpful and meaningful about that person? And so are you really, I know you probably don't mean this, but you know what? You could be unintentionally causing dissension in the church. Now, if a loving brother or sister comes alongside of us and points that out, then we ought to say, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Amen? Friends, if we'll all practice that, then we'll continue to maintain the unity that God wants us to have here as His church. Amen? Friends, I am thankful for you. I'm thankful for the unity God has given us. But friends, here's what I do know. I know that when God is at work and when God's doing things, the devil's going to try to get his old ugly head in there somewhere. Amen? Don't let him use you to be a thorn in the church. Amen? Let's continue to be a unified church. Friends, not only is a healthy church to be a unified church, but the healthy church is to be a joyful church. It's to be a joyful church. That's number five. How many of you have been a part of a church that was not filled with joy? Been a part of one of them dead churches or one of the churches you just dread going to and so forth? You say, yeah, Pastor, I'm part of one right now. I hope that's not the case. Okay? I hope that's not the case. I don't believe that's the way God wants it. Okay? I want you to look at verse 40, where are we at? 46. Look at verse 46. Let's look at what characterized the church. Here it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Now, so what it's saying here is every day they were going to the temple. Now, why were they going to the temple? Oh, they probably going to worship. But listen, they worshiped in houses. They worshiped from house to house. They worshiped as believers in the upper room and other places. So I don't believe that's the main reason they were going to the temple. But I believe the main reason they were going to the temple was to tell others about the Messiah, the Savior that they had found. Amen? Listen, these were believers, but they were really, another word for that is a completed Jew, right? They had just found the Messiah that they had been looking for and been talked about all throughout the Old Testament. So they were going to the temple, and they were telling them about Jesus and that the Messiah had come. And then it says, and they were breaking bread from house to house. Now, again, we as Baptists think of eating, all right? We love to eat from house to house, right? This was not the world's first progressive dinner, okay? But what were they doing? They were observing the Lord's Supper. They were observing the Lord's Supper, proclaiming the Lord's death, remembering his body and his blood that was shed for them on the cross. Listen, everything we need to do as a church needs to center around what Christ has done for us. Amen? Listen, this is not a social club. Do we need to fellowship and do we need to reach out to each other? Absolutely, friends. But we have one commonality, and that is always the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And our fellowship and everything we need to do needs to center on him. So as they did that, it says, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, how did they eat their food? It says with gladness. The word gladness there is the noun form of the Greek word for rejoicing. So they did it with joy, and they did it with simplicity of heart. The word here is talking about that their hearts weren't filled with stone. I believe this is really, they were really just doing it with tender hearts, with a real genuineness. Friends, don't you want to be a part of a church that is full of joy and genuineness? Amen? Listen, isn't that what we need to be as a church? We don't need to be stuck up. We don't need to be looking down our noses at other people. We don't need to be all of that, friends. But we need to be praising God. And listen, when we simply live out our faith in joy and sincerity and genuineness, then what does it say? They had favor with all the people. Friends, people are attracted to that. Amen? People aren't attracted to phoniness. There's enough phoniness in the world today. Amen? There's enough religion in the world today. So don't come at me with all that religion stuff. Amen? Listen, we just need to be about loving the Lord Jesus Christ and living for him. Listen, in a healthy church, friends, joy is a part of that, and that joy is attractive. The people are filled with joy. Here's what I want to say to you. Here's what I want to encourage you. Friends, don't be afraid to let the joy of the Lord show in your life. Amen? Don't be afraid to let the joy of the Lord show in your life. Listen, you go around all the time, oh, I'm just hating life. Then we need to ask a question about that, amen? Listen, if we don't have the joy on the inside, then we need to ask why. Friends, I believe we as Baptists need to learn to show more joy in our lives. Amen? And even in the church service. Now listen, I want you to listen to me carefully, okay? How many of you grew up where you didn't say anything, you didn't move, you didn't talk, you dared not made a noise in the church? Okay? I understand. I respect that. Church I grew up in is still that way. Okay? You can hear a pin drop, all right? Try dropping one of your Bibles in that, okay? It's just kind of done that before, okay? But listen, here's what I want to encourage you. Don't be a stick in the mud, okay? Don't be a wet blanket. Do we need to be respectful? Yes. Do we need to be courteous and not distract others from what God has to say? Yes. But friends, that doesn't mean we need to be dead, amen? Listen, nobody wants a dead church. Listen, I don't want to be around a bunch of dead believers, because if you're dead, then you're not really in a relationship with Christ. Friends, I want to encourage you to be alive when you sing. I want to encourage you to be alive when you're listening to the message. You know, helps me know that you're awake, okay? Listen, sometimes Brother Chris is up here and he's leading us. Listen, I used to lead the music and stuff, and sometimes it's when we're leading in worship, it's kind of like pulling and dragging a dead horse. But the reality is, friends, if we love Jesus and if we're focused on what he's done for us, we're remembering that, then the joy ought to overflow, amen? It ought to just overflow in our life. And if it doesn't, then you got some problems. We got some questions to ask, because here's the deal. I know you get excited. I know you get excited when your favorite football team scores the winning touchdown. I hear you all the way on the other side of town, Laura Edwards. I know some of you who are normally very quiet, there are times when you get excited. You know, when your favorite team scores, or whatever. For those of you who are guys who are hunters, guys, when you see that first deer of the season, and you get that first deer of the season, or maybe of your life, right? I know you get excited. Ladies, when you go and you see the clearance rack, and you see that $150 dress on sale for $2.50, woo! That's right. You're getting excited. I know you get excited. Let me just tell you, there's nothing wrong with getting excited about the Lord. Okay? There's nothing wrong with getting excited about the Lord. Friends, if the joy is on the inside, we can't help but to let it come out. Amen? And so, listen, here in church you say, well, Pastor, we need, yeah, whatever. Listen, we can't carry on a conversation while I'm preaching and stuff, but I enjoy the interaction. When we're singing, we ought to be singing from the bottom of our heart. You say, well, I don't like to sing. Well, friends, then you're not going to like heaven very much. Okay? That doesn't mean we're going to be flying around with wings and all the time, that picture and stuff, but the reality is, friends, we're going to be singing to the Lord, okay? And so you better get used to it, and you better start warming up your voice. You say, well, I can't sing good. Well, it's just going to make you appreciate heaven better, okay, when God gives you a heavenly voice, okay? Here's the deal, friends. Listen, if you're not excited about the Lord, that's okay. I understand that. Maybe that's the case, friends. But if Jesus has saved you, and if I know that my path was on the path to hell, and I know I'm a sinner, and no matter what I try to do, I try to do good, I try to do better, I try to be a good person, but every time I fall short, and there is nothing I can do except continue to fall and fall and fall, and that I finally realize that my way is headed down the wrong road, and I turn my life over to Jesus, and I realize that he has done something for me that is far beyond anything that anybody else has ever done, and he has given his life to pay the penalty for my sin on the cross, and then he rose from the grave to give me new life. Friends, when I realize that, I can't help but get excited. Amen? I can't help but to let my joy overflow, friends, and that's what the church needs to be like. People come in, they need to be able to just see the joy in our lives. Don't be afraid to let the joy show. Now listen, that doesn't mean everything's perfect in our lives, amen? We all struggle, we all have our storms, and maybe you're going through some right now, friends, but only Jesus can give us the peace which passes all understanding, amen? A healthy church is a joy-filled church. And finally, number six, a healthy church is a growing church. A healthy church is a growing church. Friends, Looking at the type of church that we see here in the Acts chapter 2, wouldn't you want to be part of that church? Amen? Wouldn't you want to be part of that church? I do. Listen, I want this church to be like that church. Amen? Something else was happening. Verse 47 says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Daily, people were getting saved and they were coming to know Jesus. Why were people being saved daily? Why were they being saved? Friends, it is because the early believers were sharing their faith daily. They were going to the temple and they were talking to people about the Messiah has come. They were going from house to house and person to person, and they were talking about that. Friends, a church that is healthy will be reproducing, and we'll be seeing people come to know Christ and coming into faith with Christ. Friends, I am glad we've had several people get saved lately. I praise God for that. Amen? But there is a city full of people here, lost and dying and going to hell, that need Jesus. You may say, "But Pastor, people just don't want to hear the truth anymore. People don't want to hear what the Bible says. People don't want to hear about their sin. People don't want to hear about Jesus." I get it. I understand that. And you're right, a lot of people don't. But some people do. Some people do. And how are we going to know who does? How are we going to know where God's working? Friends, right now, God, I believe God is working in the hearts of people. People that you and I are going to come into contact with this week. How are we going to know if God's working in their heart or not unless we gossip Jesus all over town? How are we going to know that, friends, unless we're willing to get outside of our comfort zone and we're willing to reach out to other people? How are we going to know? You say, "Pastor, all that's fine and good. I want to do all that, Pastor, but listen, I can't invite them to church. I don't even like this church. I don't like this, or I don't like that, or I wish we did such and such this way," and what have you. Let me give you a little secret, okay? There's things I don't like about this church, okay? And I'm not leaving tomorrow, okay? I'm just going to tell you all that, okay? Listen, it's not all about our personal preferences. Amen? You know, it's not all about that. It's about what does Lord Jesus want for our church. You want the church to be better? You want the church to be more loving? You want the church to be more generous? You want the church to be more devoted? Here's a secret. You are the church. You want the church to be more devoted. "Pastor, I wish people were more committed." We need to be more committed. "Pastor, I wish the church was more loving." We all need to be more loving. Amen? "Pastor, I wish the church was more filled with joy." Well, guess what? We can do something about that. Amen? We are the church. Do you know that? Did you know that if you're a believer, you're commanded to be a part of a local church? If you're a believer, you're commanded to be a part of a local church. The Bible says, "Do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves." In other words, if you're not a part of a local church, you're in sin. Now, you take that for what you want. The Bible also says it commands us to be using our gifts in the body of Christ. So if we're not doing that, then we're also in sin. So friends, you see how when I talk about you cannot be a growing, thriving, healthy Christian if you are not plugged in to a Bible-believing, Christ-honoring church? Here's what I want to say. Some of you are here this morning, and in some ways I feel you're already part of the fellowship, but you never made that formal. I want to invite you to be a part of what God's doing here at Southside. Are there other good churches? Yes, there are. And if you want to go get involved in one of those other good churches, you'll have my blessing, and I will love you, and we'll still be friends, and we'll still be brothers and sisters in Christ. But friends, if God has called you here, then let's be about doing His business. Amen? Amen. Three things to be a member of Southside Baptist Church. Number one, a church is a group of saved individuals, okay, of believers. So you first have to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, here's the deal. If you say, you know what, Pastor, I'd love to be a part of this church, but I don't know if I'm saved or not. Friends, we need to have a conversation, and we need to talk about what it means to be saved. I'd love to have that conversation with you and talk with you about that, because, friends, there's nothing more important than to know that you know that you know where you're going to spend your eternity, and to allow Christ to save you, to redeem you, and to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you need to be saved. Need to be a believer. Second, you need to be baptized. And we baptize by immersion. Why do we baptize by immersion? Because that's what baptism means. Okay? So you need to be saved. You need to be baptized. And third, to be a member here at Southside, you need to agree with the direction and mission of the church. Here's our direction. Our direction is we want to impact our world for Christ one life at a time. So that means each one of us impacting our world and us together collectively impacting the community here for Christ. And friends, listen, if that's your heartbeat, we'd love to have you be a part of what God's doing here at Southside. I want to encourage you today. Listen, 3,000 got saved and they were a part of that church. Would you formally come be a part of what God's doing here at Southside today? Here in a few minutes, we're going to have a time of invitation. What a wonderful time. I invite you to come and say, Pastor Scott, you know what? I'd like to talk to you more about that. Or, we're ready to do that. Whatever it is, friends, what a better time than now. There is none. Maybe today you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Today you need to be saved. Listen, I invite you to do that. You say, you know what? I need Jesus. I need to give my life to the Lord. I've been thinking about this, and I've been meaning to for a long time. I need to stop messing around, and I just need to trust Christ today. I want to do that. Friends, we praise God with you. Listen, you're going to talk about joy and shouting? We love that. Amen? We love that. Friends, maybe God's speaking to your heart in some other way. Listen, how can we make this church a healthier church? Here's the question. How can you make this church a healthier church? What's God saying to you today? Do you need to allow the joy to flow through more? Do you need to be more devoted to learning and growing in the Word? Do you need to be more devoted to being a part of the life of the church? Friends, listen, all those things are integrally important to you being where you need to be with the Lord. So I want to encourage you, friends, today. Would you simply say yes to God? Maybe outside your comfort zone. Hey, you know what? That's a good thing. Would you say, yes, Lord, I want to be saved. Yes, Lord, I want to become a part of this church. Yes, Lord, I want to be committed to growing in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we pray, listen, our praise team's going to come. I want to invite you. Our altar's open here this morning. And I want to invite you to come and listen, do business with God this morning. Whatever he's saying to you, would you respond to him? Whatever he's calling you, friends, would you respond? Yes, it's going to be outside your comfort zone, but that's a good thing. He's calling you to be more devoted. He's calling you to be more loving, filled with joy. Would you let Christ fill you with those things today, friends? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. Lord, we want to be the church that you've called us to be. So right now, Lord, speak to our hearts. Convict us. Draw us to yourself, Lord. And draw us to the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Would you come? Our altar's open. Would you come? Whatever it is God's dealing with your heart about this morning, would you come?
All to Jesus I surrender. Surrender all. to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing
Amen. Be seated, if you will, for just a moment. That's where we need to be. Amen. Surrendered fully to what Christ wants us to do in our lives. Take your communication card out, if you will. And if you haven't done so already, if you'll put your name on there, that would help me tremendously. I would appreciate that. If you're visiting with us, and if you would fill one of these out, we would tremendously appreciate that. On the back is a place for a prayer request down at the bottom. If you've made a decision, some way we can pray for you in that area this morning, put it at the top. Our ushers are going to come, and as they pass the baskets, if you'll place those in there, we would appreciate that. We do have a gift for you if you're visiting with us for the first time, or maybe you just haven't gotten one of these yet. It's called The Case for Christ. It is a DVD about Lee Strobel's journey to faith. And so this is a free gift to you. If you'll see me or somebody at the welcome desk right out here, we will get you one of those. All right? So that's a free gift for you. Couple other quick things. Here in a couple weeks, Josh mentioned we're going to have our ladies and men's Bible study starting first part of March, Wednesday nights. Hope you'll join us in that. Sign up for that. You got the inserts in your Bible or in your bulletin. This Wednesday, we're going to be doing our last Southside family gathering. We've been doing a lot of different things. This Wednesday, we're going to have open gym for the kids. That's also called chaos, for those of you to know that. But we call it open gym. And then for adults, we're going to have an open Bible study in here. And so we've got a couple of good topics from questions that we're going to do in here. And then the following Wednesday, last Wednesday of this month, we're going to have a leadership summit on recruiting. If you're a team leader, invite you to be a part of that. Or if you'd just like to come, we'd love to have you be a part of that. 6:30, last Wednesday of February. All right. Good deal. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Now let's go out and be the church that God's called us to be. Okay. Keep our antennas aware. Reaching out to people, loving on people, and seeing them hopefully come to know Him. Amen? Amen. Brother Josh, would you close us with a word of prayer? Good to see you guys this morning. Have a great week.